It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
So here we go, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Tractor Girls Talk podcast, which is proudly sponsored by John Fowler's Solicitors. Big up Mark Kennedy as ever and the team for his support. I'm joined as ever by my co-host and town woman skipper Blue Wilson. And we're joined by a special guest, the man of many roles, Kieran Stanley joins us to discuss seven straight wins. Top of the league still. And going into a very big game this weekend in the title race. Blue, always a pleasure. How was your trip to Kent with the team on the coach there? And another win.
Another win, the main point. But yeah, it was a good trip. I actually had a family trip to Centre Parks before. So I came straight from Centre Parks to Colchester, got on the Colchester pickup, and then obviously went to the game. But yeah, it was a good day out, professional performance, and around made a good weekend. But what about you? How's it been?
Yeah, it's been good. So you had a rare Saturday off because the men, of course, didn't have a game. So that was nice, just chill weekend. But ready to hit Kent on Sunday and another win. More 3 points. Joe Sheehan's 100th game in charge. And we're joined, Blue, by a man of many roles at the football club. Kieran Stanley, K-Dog. Always a pleasure, my friend. How's things? And sort of, we've had you on the podcast before. We had you for the quiz, which was a very good quiz. I won that quiz, but also came on last season. But K-Dog, how are things? And let people know sort of your role, because you've got a lot.
Yeah, it's great to be back. Thanks for having me back on. I think this is my hat-trick appearance now, actually. So pleased to hit that. Do I get a match ball at all?
If it's a perfect hat-trick, did you get a header, left foot, right foot?
I'm going to have some scoring with my left, actually. So. Okay. Yeah, and I might be a bit too short for the header, but we'll see. Things are going great, actually. Obviously, things have been really good for the team recently off the back of this really strong run of form. And that's obviously translated into being quite busy. But, you know, it's been all right and enjoying it. And the team are enjoying it. It's a great vibe at the moment. So, yeah, it's been fantastic. And in terms of what I do, far too much is the answer to that. But no, it's been enjoyable at the same time. You know, for those that don't know, I'm a media officer, but also oversee first team and academy operations, as well as admin and logistics and all kinds of things that are involved in that. Lots of work behind the scenes, and I kind of pick up jobs here and there that really, like, I'll just try and take them off of Joe's plate. So, yeah, I'm a busy guy, but I enjoy it, and it's a great time to be a part of the club.
Definitely. And yeah, if you're not at games and you need to know the result, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram is where Kieran Stanley's at. He's the one tweeting.
Yeah. I've recently picked up the PA announcing job as well. So you may have heard my voice echoing around Felixstowe. To any residents around the AGL arena that's heard my gob come across the speakers in recent weeks, I do apologise. But yeah, that's something I've recently taken on, as well as being able to fix the coffee machine at the training ground.
There you go. Man of many, many key roles. Good old K-Dog. Always good to have you on the pod, my friend. We're going to chat about the win against Gillingham, a 1-0 win. The bogey side, you know, cliche. Because we haven't been able to
say that. But
last two results, you know, that they're beating us and we're drawing against them. But a 1-0 win in Kent. A nice little setup, Chatham Town. Very modern setup. Nice surface. A nice little, was it Barry's? Was it Barry's? Food Shack, I think it was called. Or Bobby's. Bobby's. Yeah. Bobby's.
Okay.
Bobby's, yeah. Food Shack.
I really remember it, to be honest.
Yeah, Bobby's Food Shack. I think, Blue, you saw me, Kieran, and other media people eating burgers and bacon burgers, and you and Lucy O'Brien like looking over at us and going, oh, wish we could eat that. Because, yeah, you're athletes, aren't you? We're just the media people.
A little bit of a disclaimer here. So we couldn't get onto the pitch or get any work started until the Chatham Town under-14s game and finish. Yep. So we kind of standing around doing nothing. So I thought, good opportunity for a bacon roll. Ross dived into the burger, and Blue went to M&S, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, me and Lucy O'Brien decided that burger probably wasn't the right choice. So we had a little trip to M&S, which was handily only, yeah, it was only a couple minutes walk. So we went there, managed to pick up a sandwich, got back, ate it on the bench whilst the girls were warming up. So yeah, great, really. Yeah, I'm happy with that setup. But I'd be interested to hear the ratings of the burger and bacon roll.
Kato, I'll let you take it all. Yeah, it's not. I've had worse. It's a standard football ground burger, but yeah.
I would say bacon roll in terms of price, probably about right. In terms of quality, 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had a bacon roll at Watford away, which was absolutely out of this world, but it did cost me double the price of the one I paid for yesterday. So kind of expect that. But yeah, it was a good little facility, wasn't it? I think, Ross, you called it on the podcast last week the Booville Stadium. I thought it was called the Boreville Stadium. And it turns out it's the Boville Stadium. So you know, none of us could get it right. No. But there we go. But that was, I have to say, that was definitely one of the best setups we've been to this season. Obviously a high quality 4G pitch, plenty of stands with good acoustics for the supporters as well, making a lot of noise. Nice facilities in terms of down the tunnel in the dressing rooms, very hospitable staff, and good clubhouse. So yeah, I mean, that was one of my favorite away days we've done in a long time.
Definitely. Yeah, big shout out to Chatham Town. And yeah, we got the win, Blue. 1-0 win. Started the game brightly. Anna Gray with her 12th goal of the season. Great assist from Pesk. But yeah, your thoughts on the win overall?
I think overall we were pretty, well, we were in control the entire game, I think. I think they had the odd moment where I was like, oh, okay. And probably I would have been a lot more comfortable watching if we'd put 2 or 3 past them. But we're kind of in a flow now where we can comfortably win 1-0 and that'd be okay. Obviously for goal difference reasons and probably for supporters watching and people on the bench, it's nicer to get a few more, but a win is a win. And if it does come down to goal difference, we'll probably be looking back at these times thinking, okay, we need to score more. So a difficult one, but all in all, professional performance. I know they had a few players from West Ham and all sorts of clubs in terms of like younger players coming on loan. So some decent talent. But I think the way we played, the way we pressed them high, I don't think they really had a chance. So, yeah, I was happy with that performance. I think Joe was 2-7 on the trot. And, yeah, no complacency I'm seeing in the performances yet. So a good day. And a nice. I think it's important to have the win yesterday or whenever it was, whenever you're listening, to tee up that Oxford game. Because if, say, we'd drawn or lost against Gillingham, the Oxford game then has a definite different feel to it. So yeah, we're 7 on the trot. I think Oxford are 5 on the trot, so it's going to be a big clash of heads on Sunday. But yeah, Anna doing what she does best. All in all, good performance and win.
Definitely. And I forgot to mention my review of the food. Yeah, I'll say the same, Kieran. 5 out of 10. Good price, but a little bit overcooked, a burger, but you know, it's food at the end of the day. K-Dog, your thoughts on the win, the performance, the goal? I missed the goal, but I got the celebration. You had to let me know because we had a rare experience in the first half. Me and Kieran watched the game together. I was in the stand getting some good elevation pictures. But yeah, tell the story and your thoughts on the game as a whole.
Yeah, so Ross and I were in the stand with Maddie, obviously, who works with us in the media team. And we decided to go behind the goal. And it's not usually the kind of angle I'd take for media, but it had the best kind of elevation possible. So we went right in the back row, got a really good view of the pitch, and Ross was stood next to me and he just asked me to take his camera for a second, which was on obviously an extended tripod. And I took the camera whilst watching the game, and Ross is obviously trying to switch over SD cards at the time. And we started to come forward on the attack. And I'm going, Ross, we're in here. Ross, we're in. Ross, quick, we're in. Ross. I just about got the camera back to him in time to be able to him to capture the goal and the celebration. So that was a bit of an ad hoc moment, but we did it, didn't we?
Yeah. It always happens. I always feel, okay, I'm comfortable here. We're not going to have a chance. We're going to be fine. But no, all the time, every time I put the camera down, something happened. And when you were saying that, Kieran, I thought, oh, we're gonna waste this anyway. So we're not gonna score it. But we did. And Kieran, yeah. Thoughts on the goal? A very good goal.
Yeah, nicely well worked, actually. I thought we played some really nice stuff. Some combinations were fantastic. And you could see the threat of our wide players and Freya running in behind. We're causing Gillingham a lot of problems. And I think our high press as well was really, really causing them problems, because the amount of clearances they slammed into our pressing players was ridiculous. But yeah, it's a great ball out to Pesk, and she does what she does best and just puts in a quality delivery right into the 6-yard box, and Anna runs onto it. It's bundled in into the corner. But it's difficult to hit a ball in stride like that when you're off balance. But she's put it in. I think there was an initial moment where the players perhaps thought it was going to be disallowed, because after Anna had put the ball in, she ran to the goalkeeper with her momentum and the goalkeeper was down. And I think a couple of our players thought it was going to get ruled out for a foul, but it didn't. And I think from that point onwards, we were really, really comfortable. I never thought as if Gillingham were going to get back into the game. They didn't really have an awful lot up front. And although you have that lingering thing in the back of your head of, oh, one goal here could change everything. You know, it could end our season if we concede a goal. It always felt as if we were in full control of the game and that we would go on and get another one. Ultimately, we didn't. But I think if any team was going to score the second goal of the game, it was going to be us.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned actually, Kieran, yesterday, well, we're recording this on Monday, it will go out probably Tuesday, but on Sunday, Pesca, of course, got the assist, and she's now second in the assist making charts. So she only made a return back in October, November time. So she's proven how good a player she is.
Yeah, are we surprised? Probably not. She's been an assist machine ever since she stepped foot on the pitch for Ipswich Town in 2019. She's got such a quality delivery, and I think it has taken her a little bit of time to get back to her best. You know, she's had a bit of time where she's been on the bench, and then she's come back into the team and she's put in some good performances and some good cameo performances. But I think over the last 3 or 4 games, we're really starting to see her reach those levels again. And yesterday was one of those games. I thought that was her best performance since she returned from injury by an absolute mile. They just could not handle her. And I think, Blue, you mentioned players from West Ham for Gillingham. Kira Flannery, who has played for West Ham in the WSL, was playing at left wing back yesterday, and Pesket was absolutely rinsing her the entire game. So, yeah, great performance from her, great delivery. We're so used to seeing her be such a threat in the final third, both from scoring and assisting, and that's just another example of what she can do.
Yeah, and Blue, got to give a shout out to the defence once again. Megan Waring, Boz, Laffey, just the back three, back four. Summer Hughes, good old Summer Hughes. But yeah, shout out to the defence once again. Definitely Megan Waring, and she's just been a boss this season, isn't she?
Yes, still waiting for that goal though.
Yeah,
still waiting.
Oh, so close again.
Another chance yesterday. I'm convinced it's going to be a worldie though. Like, yeah. She's going to score a scruffy goal. It's going to be a bullet header or a bitey.
Yeah.
There was a time in the first half yesterday where she was definitely sizing up the bicycle kick from a corner and decided to back out of it at the last minute. But it's the goal is definitely coming. I would love to see it this weekend in a game of that magnitude against Oxford for her to score. That would be unbelievable.
Yeah. She has said, actually, she's like, yeah, I'm saving it for Oxford, saving it for the Oxford. I'm like, Megan, that can't be an excuse for you missing chances. But if she pulls it off, I'm not complaining. I'm not sure goals work like that, but if she pulls it off. But I think all in all, the defence was solid as per Boz and obviously Laff and Megan in particular. And then you've got Summer Hughes, who I thought had a great game. Her and Pesket really helped each other out, and that right side was really strong for us. Once again, and Sarah, of course, can't forget the goalkeeper.
Yeah, now clean sheet for her, and
another clean sheet.
And just the relationships across the pitch, I think, is growing more and more. You know, this definitely in this run. You know, the forward line as well. You know, Freya playing up front in a different position. She had another good game, I felt, and then Anna Gray, Kieran, 12 goals. She's now the top goal scorer this campaign. Thoughts on her?
Yeah, she's having a fantastic season. We've always known the qualities that Anna has, and she has such electrifying pace that it's so difficult to deal with her. I think, you know, she would admit that last season probably wasn't the best for her in terms of creativity. She got a few goals last season, which she'd be pleased with, but I think this year, not only has she been able to score goals, but she's also been able to create them a lot more consistently as well. So she's had a really, really good season. And that was on show again yesterday. And it's not just the quality goals that she can score, but just like yesterday, right place, right time, stick it in, and, you know, fantastic, won the game. And, you know, if she was to go on and win the Golden Boot this season, she'd be the first player not named Natasha Thomas to win it since 2014, which is just absolutely incredible, really. Obviously, Tasha's only one goal behind. I wouldn't totally rule out that staying with her. But, yeah, Anna's had a great season. Really pleased for her that she's managed to consistently like carry that throughout the whole season. And, yeah, been a very much a key player.
Yeah, she has. Blue, obvious question this, but how big was this win?
Crucial. It couldn't have been anything else, I don't think. And I think we all knew that. But we weren't going to let that pressure us into making bad decisions. So anything other than a win on Sunday was, detrimental to our season. We knew that that would be the end of the sort of title challenge in sort of realistic terms, looking at the table. We've still got a lot to do. Don't get me wrong. We've still got a lot to do. We obviously need to win our last three and hope some results go our way, but we're still in the mix and that's the most important thing. So it carries on and we've won more than seven games in a row before. So why can't we do it again?
Yeah, and Kieran, I'm going to use Blue's word here, crucial, because it was a crucial month in March as well. Some great wins, Billericay, Plymouth, London Bees, Crawley Wasps, who are teams that, you know, they had to test us. How would you look back on the last month and the Gillingham win as a whole?
Yeah, it's been a fantastic month. You know, I don't think we have to dress it up. I think it speaks for itself. To win that many games is incredibly impressive. And I guess the only disappointment is we conceded last week against Crawley. Really, it should be a run of clean sheets as well. But yeah, it has been fantastic. I think aside from Watford obviously being a real big victory for us, we have played a lot of sides that we perhaps be expected to beat. But you still have to beat those teams. You know, that we've seen that. You just look at the Forest Green in the men's game yesterday. I don't think anyone would have given them a hope in hell of beating Sheffield Wednesday, who were 23 games unbeaten. But it just proves that football can churn out these results sometimes. And although upsets are more rare in the women's game, they will happen. I don't think many people would have foresaw Oxford losing to Cheltenham earlier in the season. Bearing in mind, Cheltenham haven't won a game since then. So, yes, we have been fantastic. We've got a great run going, seven wins in a row. We've kept ourselves in the title race with vital win after vital win, week by week. But we do need to win our final three. And as Blue said, we need a little bit of luck along the way. You know, this is far from done. But it's hard to look back and be negative about it because it's been tremendous. And I think Joe summed it up well the other day when he said to me that, he goes, look, at the end of the day, if we win our final 10 games of the season and still don't go up, we couldn't have done any more than that. Yeah. And I think that's a real good way of looking at it, because what else can you do to win 10 in a row at the end? Can't ask for more.
No, you can't ask for more. And Blue, you know, the players have really stepped up this month as well. Player of the month voting will be out when this podcast goes out. So, get your nominations in. But Blue, some standout players there, but another good team sort of month in terms of performance wise, but there's some standout players there as well.
Yes, for sure. I think Freya has to be in the mix. For me, Megan again. Pesk has had a great month. So a lot of players have had a really good month. So it's hard to pick from, because obviously the defence have done well, only conceding one. So, but those would be sort of the three. And you've got Anna. Oh, there's a lot. It's going to be a difficult vote.
Yeah, it's this year, Kieran, it's all over the place in terms of players. It's hard to choose because sometimes sometimes the men's team is, you just rely on one player. But nowadays, it's like everybody gets a nomination. You think, oh, we may vote for that player. But everyone's sharing it. Every year or every month, it's been a different nomination, different winner.
Yes, we haven't had a repeat winner yet, which is interesting. But yeah, I think it's testament to the players that multiple players that are playing at a consistently high level. And you know, I think that this month has been particularly strong. Obviously, when you win seven games in a row, I think it's going to be strong. And obviously, five games in this month, five wins. So it is going to be tough. Good luck to the supporters in terms of choosing this month's player of the month, because I think it's going to be very difficult. I think for me personally, I'd probably give it to Freya, obviously would be the first repeat winner. Just because, you know, at the start of this month, she's been thrust into a new position. She scored five goals in five games. So, you know, she's had a great run of form, been very crucial, scored some important goals throughout the month. In a new position at 17 years old as well. I think that's important to point out. Also, I know Megan's 17 as well and is an absolute titan at the back. But yeah, fair play to Freya. She's made a massive impact in the last month. But look, whoever wins it is going to be worthy at the end of the day, because there's a lot of worthy contenders.
Yeah, worthy indeed. Well, big moment on Sunday. Joe Sheehan, the gaffer, the manager, the coach. 100 games in charge of the team. Blue, he's got a pretty good record. I think, Kieran, you said in the in your interview with him, you know, that's pretty decent. You know, that 72 wins at 100 games, 234 goal difference, 72% win percentage. Blue, thoughts on Joe and, yeah, a century of games for him.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it? Not bad stats. I think I'd be happy with them. But actually, it triggered the sort of 100 games, triggered my thoughts back to my first sort of season in Tier 4 when Joe took over and the likes of Paige Wakefield and Lindsay and Amanda Crump were playing, and when he sort of first took over, and how he's sort of changed and how we've changed. And it's quite weird in comparison, just the way, I guess, you expect a coach to know everything as players, but actually he was and still is like early in his journey as being a senior coach. So the way probably his journey is aligned with ours and different learnings and how he's matured as we have too. I think his approach to games, especially big games in particular, has adapted and all in all has improved massively as a coach. And he was good when I first came here. So yeah, big up Joe. They are incredible stats really when you think about it. They're not easy leagues to be in. And yeah, long may it continue.
Yeah, long may it continue. Kieran, we've been there since the beginning, February 2019, when he got appointed. He's had a journey. The club have had a journey to Tier 3, quarterfinals of the FA Cup, beating high opposition. Your thoughts on Joe and, yeah, 100 games for the man.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, 4 years of success, 100 games of success. It's been an absolute honour and a privilege, I think, to have been a part of that over the last 100 games, 4 years. What a fantastic manager, and what a fantastic guy. An absolute pleasure to be on his staff. Someone who's put an awful lot of trust and belief in me and allowed me to do so much work for the club. And I think, yeah, he has been such a crucial part of where we are today. Everyone has bought into his vision. Everyone kind of, you buy into that enthusiasm and that absolute desire to succeed and hit the targets that we want to hit and to be where we want to be. You've got to be all in under Joe, and I think that certainly is the case. And look, I think Blue hit it on the head as well. Like, this is a guy who's 34 years old and he's got 100 games in management under his belt. Like, he's a young coach. He's still got a massive future ahead of him. But to have the achievements he has at his age is a testament to him. And, you know, I'm sure there's going to be many more games in the dugout for Ipswich Town. You know, he loves this club. And I'm sure he's going to deliver a lot more success for this club.
Yeah, and Blue, I think he know how important it was on Sunday, the win, because he brought out a little fist pump.
Have we lost him?
To the crowd, you know? Am I gone?
A little technical glitch there.
Yeah, a little bit of a glitch.
I got mid-fist pump. You were mid-fist pumping.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I caught a nice little fist pump from Joe at the end there, which was great to see. I think how important that win was on Sunday. And yeah, it's good to see.
Yeah, I think it was probably a build-up of this season. And we've had a lot, not go against us because that makes us seem like we're unlucky and we haven't been that. But there's a lot of things which in your perfect plan of how the season goes, it hasn't gone like that. So I think to be at this point in the season, in the position that we're in, and to win a game against Gillingham when actually they're not an easy team at all. They're one of those which you can't really predict. And we struggled against them in the past. So I think it was relief, actually. It was relief that we're still in it. Relief that we can sustain the pressure and continue. He uses the word dialed in. And I think he's very much that, as is the rest of the team. And like he likes to remind us of how many we've got to go, and we've got three to go, and then possibly a potential another one if those three go well. And that's it, three games to decide our season. And it all comes down to that. So I think perhaps emotions then start to, after the game is over and you're still in it, it's pure relief, and I definitely felt that. He deserves the success, and as to the team, because we've got a really hard-working set of players and probably even harder-working set of staff. So we're really lucky at this club, I think. Three games to go, Ross. Three games to go.
I don't think you can underestimate just how much he wants this and how much it means to him. I think that's something I would point out. This is an obsession for him to deliver success and to achieve what we set out to achieve. And that buy-in, it has to be there. I mean, he's a very passionate manager, he's been emotional at times. You know, I think that emotion comes through with how much it means. And he's just meticulous in his approach. Just so, the finer details of the game, the nuances, just the amount of work he puts into this to be able to deliver this for the team is incredible. And that's testament to him. And, it's been a great 4 years, but there's plenty more to come, I'm sure of it.
Yeah. Big up Joe Sheehan, and big up the town fans as well. We travelled down the Kent behind the stand where you were in, Kieran, with the drum, some great flags. So big up the supporters as ever. We've got to, of course, look ahead to a very big game this weekend against Oxford United. Before that, it's time for Kieran to have a spotlight on you, my friend. Our favourite feature, 10 questions with. I'd be interested to know your answers. Blue, I'll let you take it away with the first one.
First one, who is your biggest influence?
Been thinking long and hard about this. I'm gonna mention Joe. I think he has been had a massive influence on me, certainly from a career perspective, for putting that faith and confidence and belief in me to be able to do my job to the best of my ability. And I certainly wouldn't be sat where I am today if it wasn't for him. So I think he would certainly be someone that I would say has been a huge influence. But I'm also going to say my granddad. My granddad, shout out Dave, has been a massive influence on me throughout my life, really. He's my number one fan. I ring him after every game and tell him the result. Which has become a bit of a thing on the coach now, hasn't it, Ross? To the point where sometimes Joe will shout down the phone to my granddad. My granddad, he's not really the biggest football fan, even though he grew up a stone's throw from White Hart Lane in Tottenham. He's never been the biggest football fan, but he's a big fan of me and my experiences in the game and the things that I go through and the successes I've had mean a lot to him. So he likes to hear about all of that. So I would certainly say, my granddad.
Big shout out to Dave. You're listening, if you are.
I don't think he will be. but I'll let him know that I've said that and he'll probably appreciate it. Yeah. So,
top man, Dave. Second question then, Kieran. I know you're a pretty good dab hand in the kitchen. So what's your favourite thing to cook, just eat in general as well?
So, I mean, you can't really beat Christmas dinner, can you? I think it's just, there's a reason why you only have it once a year. It's because it's so damn good. Yeah. So that would be up there. I've made the family Christmas dinner probably for the last 7 or 8 years now. So I've kind of perfected that. I also do make these really, really good like chicken nachos with like two different types of cheese. which is a really sort of like nice and easy thing to make at home sometimes. It might not sound like very complicated cooking, but when you nail it, it's just, it's fantastic. But yeah, I'd say one of those two, but maybe in leaning towards Christmas dinner, because it is just, there's so much that goes into it, isn't it? But when you, when you nail it, it's like, oh my God, what a job I've done here. And it's just great, isn't it?
It is very good indeed. Over to you then, Blue.
It's quite a simple one, actually. What was your favourite subject in school?
Obviously, I enjoy PE, being into sports, like, you know, naturally enjoyed that. And later in life, I've obviously become very interested in history, especially World War II history. That's a real interest of mine. But I'd probably go English, I think, just because obviously that's related to working in media. I think the skills I've picked up in English have translated into my career. And yeah, that was always a decent lesson. Hated maths. That can get in the bin. Blue, I don't know how you're training to become an accountant. I can't think of anything worse, but, you know, you be you.
Thanks, Kieran.
Yeah. Well, Kieran, you had to do a bit of math, though, with the rate goal, you know, the win ratio for Joe and stuff. So you had to bring a bit of maths in there.
Yeah, maybe like primary school level maths. But...
72 wins out of 100 equals 72%. Yeah. Not too difficult, Kieran. You'll be all right.
Yeah, fair play. Now, big question here, Kieran. What is the one item you can't live without?
Look, I'm not going to say my phone, because even though it's central to my job, and it is a fact, I couldn't, because it is so important. But Ross, I feel like you're going to, this is something that you could agree with here.
Okay.
I'm going to say my beard.
Yeah, true.
That's a good one, actually.
Yeah, like genuinely, I think I've had a beard last 10 years. I just cannot physically not have one. I just think I look daft. So it's become a part of me now, and it will stay with me for the rest of my life. I just don't ever like being clean shaven. I think it's part of my identity as who I am as a person. So Roscoe, you rock a great beard as well. I think you'll feel me on that one.
Do you know what, Blue? I say this literally every week, but that is probably the best answer
that
I've ever had.
That is a very good one.
Because that's relatable too for me, not for you, Blue, and the rest of the players.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine. But that is a fantastic answer, Kieran. Because, yeah, I look stupid. I look stupid anyway, but if I didn't have a beard, I just
had it done today, the fresh little trim. Been to see my barber, Ken, sorted me out with a fresh trim and a beard cut. So, yeah, shout out to Ken, my barber.
Go on, Ken.
Dave and Ken. Big shout out to the boys. But yeah, good answer. I like that, Blue. I don't know if he'll be able to top this. Will he be able to top?
No, I don't know. I've got a question off the back of that, though. What amount of money would it take for you to shave your beard off and not have it for a year?
We're talking a lot.
Like, what's the threshold?
For a year? My God.
No beard for a year.
You do not know. Just not for a year.
Yeah, but imagine, Kieran, a couple of mil.
I mean, are you willing to pay that much?
I mean, I'm not. It's just hypothetical, Gary.
Do they? Or
hypothetical?
Yeah, I genuinely don't know, because it's not something I've contemplated. I mean, I'm losing my hair, so losing my facial hair is a definite no go for me.
Yeah,
fair enough. Yeah. Okay, we'll move on anyway. This is a good question. If you could have a superpower, what would it be? Teleportation's out.
I'm not going for that. I've heard that too many times. As much as it would be great, I've heard it too many times. Going for something a bit different here. So, like, I'm going to go for, like, infinite knowledge. So, say, for example, you're on a plane and the pilot's not very well. They need someone to fly it. You could just go into the cockpit and fly a plane without even having to think about it. If you could perform surgery on someone in a hospital and you just know how to do it straight away... So just that ability to be able to know everything and how to do everything straight away would be absolutely incredible.
Okay, I'm going to counter that. But don't you think part of life is not knowing things and finding out and discovering things? So do you think it would ruin the enjoyment of life?
No, because if I know how to do everything and know the answer to everything, it makes life so much easier. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Not knowledge.
Yeah, can't not knowledge. Yeah, fair play. Now, I'm bracing myself for this one. And disclaimer for anything, but Kieran, what is the one small thing that annoys you?
How long have we got?
We ain't got a time limit or such on these podcasts, but we do like to wrap it up by at least an hour mark. But yeah, take it away.
Yeah, so for people that know me, I'm easily irritated. So we could be here genuinely for a long time with me going through the list of things that do annoy me. And I'm going to put a small disclaimer out there to say anyone that doesn't like this next bit, I'm very sorry, because this is a specific thing. I'm going to say veganism.
There it is, Ross.
What I call the plant-based pandemic, where you literally can't get away from it nowadays. It's just forced in your face wherever you go. Yeah, not for me. I'm quite happy for them to, obviously, if that's their lifestyle choice, they want to do that, absolutely fine. But all these alternatives that are advertised everywhere nowadays, where they're making vegan alternatives to anything, I just think it's got a bit out of hand. And it's as a man who is carnivorous, and will not be changing. It's quite frustrating. I'm sorry to any vegans listening, but yeah, it really, really annoys me.
Question, Kieran. What about vegetarians? What's your opinion on them?
I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I feel like I don't have a problem with it, with anything whatsoever. If it's a choice for a cause or if it's something medical or anything like that, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But when it's a lifestyle choice, particularly just for attention, and to follow a phase, then I have no time for it at all. So, once again, sorry to any vegans listening, but we are going to have big disagreements.
Fair play. Yeah, fair play. Everyone's got their own opinions. And hopefully, if there is a vegan listening to this podcast, I hope you haven't been put off. That's just Kieran's views, not of the podcast.
We do not lie.
Announced, but, you know. Yeah. Don't at me on it. Like, because, yeah.
At Kieran Stanley on the social. K Stanley Media, I think it is, on Twitter. So if you want to contact him. But no.
This also rules me out of ever working for Forest Green, by the way.
Yeah. That does.
And no shame there, Kieran. Not a loss there, my friend.
They did some favour this weekend, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Fair play to them, beating Sheffield Wednesday. Fair play to them. All right, then, Blue. Segue where you can.
Yes, we'll move on. Favourite holiday destination?
USA, hands down. Been there 4 times to 4 different cities. I think it's an incredible place. There's so much there. I think it's so... like it's so diverse from state to state in terms of this. Like you go to the north and it's very mountainous, it's very green. You get to go to the south, it's obviously, you know, a lot like a desert. And obviously they have, you know, in Louisiana and Mississippi, it's all swamp like, same in Florida. So it's like you almost have an entire continent within a country. And I just think America does everything bigger and better. You know, I'm massively into my American football, as you guys know, obviously like other American sports, but just think that it's amazing. There's so much more of it I'd like to see on top of what I've already done. And I'd like to see Canada too. Like, I think that's really high on the list. But yeah, having visited the States 4 times already, yeah, I'm planning on going back many more times. Really love it out there.
Yeah, definitely. This question I'm very interested to hear your answer for, Kieran. Early bird or night owl? I think you're a bit of both, but yeah.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah, I'd say I'm somewhat in the middle. Like if I have to get up for something, I've got no qualms with having to set an early alarm to get out and do something important. But yeah, like honestly, like, you know, I'm happy to stay up late if need be, you know, if it's required. So yeah, I'd say sort of in the middle, maybe leaning slightly towards night owl, but yeah, I reckon I'm kind of somewhere in the middle.
I'm putting you on a spot here again, Blue. I'm sorry, we always do this on the podcast. I've probably asked you this before anyway, but what's your alarm situation? Because I'm so bad with my alarm. I just snooze all the time. I even put like 7 alarms on, but I still just I just ignore them. But it's a question for both of you, actually, if you want. But what's your alarm situation? Are you pretty good when it comes on? Do you straight away get up?
I am pretty good at the minute. So I think my alarm's set at 7:42, which is very specific, I know. Because, well, this is when I'm like working from home, so it'll be set at 7:42. And when I allow myself, I have to be out of bed by 7:50, and I've got 10 minutes to get to my desk to start at 8. So that's my workings. But usually I wake up before my alarm, which I enjoy very much, but only if it's a 5-minute period. If it's any longer than that, I've missed sleep. But the perfect scenario is when you wake up 2 minutes before your alarm, so you can turn the alarm off and then you're already awake. So you don't have to hear the siren, because I've got some siren going on. Yeah. So at the minute, sleep schedule's good. Very good. So I'm happy.
That's good. K-Dog, what's your sitch?
I'm quite good with alarms, actually, to be fair. It's only the one that I need. Wakes me up. I agree with Blue. It is frustrating sometimes when you wake up early and you either have that period where it's too long to kind of, you know, switch off, but it's not long enough to be able to go back to sleep. That's kind of the worst thing ever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm pretty good with them. The alarm goes off, I can get up and just get on with it. I'll wake up to a bit of Frank Sinatra, That's Life, every morning. That's my alarm. Big Sinatra fan. My go-to karaoke. Obviously, that's how I wake up. So the organs hit at whatever time in the morning it is. That's life, and then that's it. I'm up.
Oh,
very nice.
Mine's just a generic one, pretty much. It's just a reflection.
I couldn't be dealing with sirens or anything like that.
Yeah, mine's literally that.
That's quite dramatic. My alarm used to be, I think it's about a year or two ago, my alarm used to be High Hopes by Panic at the Disco.
I've hit that song already.
Yeah. I've gone to more chilled Sinatra now.
Okay.
Fair play. Right, Blue, we've got two very big questions to end with. Mm-hmm. Start with yours.
So I'll assume that you haven't got your superpower for this one, Kieran, because otherwise it wouldn't be a good question, but what skill would you most like to master?
I think probably a serious one would be probably trying to like become fluent in another language.
Mm-hmm.
I can speak a little bit of German, and I say emphasis on little bit, but I'm not going to say any now. I studied it at school, and during lockdown picked up some, you know, I was just passing the days with Duolingo. So I speak a bit of German, but I'd like to become fluent in another language. I think that'd be cool. Another thing I could do, I can already sort of do this already, but like obviously love my American football. Now I can throw an American football, but I would love to be able to throw an American football as good or as close to a professional in terms of the distance and the spiral. I can throw it about 35 yards, but they can throw it probably probably a lot further than that. But I'd like to be able to perfect that so I could throw it perfectly every time, because it just gives you so much enjoyment from just seeing that ball come out and release, and just, oh, it's just beautiful when it glides through the air.
You played a bit as well, didn't you? A little bit? But
I played defensive line, which is obviously very different to throwing the ball, because rather than being the one throwing the ball, I'm trying to get to the guy throwing the ball and bring him down, basically. I did for a bit for Ipswich Cardinals, just one season, but I got injured. That didn't go very well. Didn't get injured playing. I think that's important to point out. But I was injured and ended up missing the whole season. So, yeah. But I enjoyed my brief spell with them. I would play again. It's just I don't have the time to do it. And I'm getting old now, so... Yeah.
Fair play. We have got one final question, but I'm doing this again, Blue. And I don't know why it's just randomly popped in my head. And I think we've got to test this out, actually, at some stage. How many kick-ups can you do?
Oh, God, let's not even start on this. I'm horrendous.
This is for all of us. But Blue, what's your... Because you're the professional footballer here. Me and Kieran are just, media hounds. We play football on the side, but you're... Yeah.
Don't know if I've ever... Well, I have... Not like recently stood there and tried to get as many as possible. I don't know. That's a really difficult question. I think I've once got to 400 and something.
Oh my
when
god!
When I was in the garden,
yeah.
You just get bored. You just get bored. Yeah. It's not a fun task to do, and I'm not very good at like around the worlds and stuff.
Yeah, who do you reckon's the best? Do you reckon, like the whole squad, who can do the skills and just do loads of that?
That's a tough question, actually.
Yeah, because sometimes you get surprised by certain players who play in different positions.
I reckon Braz would be quite good at it.
I think so.
In training and.
But like what's her name? Lucy O'Brien.
What's her name?
Sorry.
Sorry, Lucy.
I was thinking through the squad. Of course, I know who Lucy O'Brien is. Lucy O'Brien, she's pretty good. Bonnie's got a good few touches.
Yeah.
Outside the boot, often pulls it out in games as well. I feel like I'm missing someone and they're going to be really annoyed.
I reckon Pest would be annoyed at you for not mentioning her, but.
No, I'm not going to say Pest. Sorry. Yeah. Lucy O'Brien over Pesk.
I'm sticking with Braz. I reckon she's got it in her locker.
Yeah.
Fair play. Just a little add-on question as always. 10 but questions.
I'm hoping, by the way, just no chance. That the only thing I mean, I obviously enjoy playing football, but I just prefer to take set pieces over everything else.
Free kick challenge. Actually, we had a few free kicks, didn't we, on Sunday against Gillingham. Didn't come off, unfortunately. But we had a lot of corners and set pieces, which is good to see.
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone thought Bonnie was going to score again.
Yeah,
I definitely did, because obviously she scored one the week before from the same position pretty much, and then scored three like that all season. So for those that read the tweets yesterday, I put something like Pesk was fouled on the edge of the area, and I even included in the tweet Horwood to take, because I was fully expecting her to hit the target. Unfortunately, I think it was because we were behind the goal and the goalkeeper shifted the wall over just that little bit more. I think they might have been doing their homework. So Bonnie's tried to find the other corner to where she normally goes, and it just didn't work out very well. But it's become a bit of a weapon, that, hasn't it?
Yeah, she dragged it a bit wide in the end. But I think Laff had a good attempt as well.
Yeah,
the corners and deliveries were good, I thought, on the most part.
Yeah, definitely when you've got Megan Waring in there waiting for a first goal, hopefully, yeah. As you said, it could be a weldie or it could just be a nice header overhead kick. We shall wait and see. But final question, Kieran. We've been building up to it. We're getting deep. What has been the one thing you've had to overcome in life, my friend?
Yeah, I had to think long and hard about this. I'd probably say, and people are going to think I'm nuts for saying this, but like, obviously, for those that know me, like I spent some time living in Australia when I was sort of, you know, in my early teens. And I'd moved back after about 2.5 years to the UK, live with my grandparents for a bit whilst my parents were still in Australia. And at the end of my GCSEs when I was 16, I went back to Australia for 6 months. And those were the worst 6 months of my life. And I had a situation where I didn't want to be in Australia. I didn't like living out there. People might think, oh my God, what, are you mad? Like, well, how would you not like living in Australia? But I genuinely did not like living there at all. It was just not for me. Didn't settle there. Ended up in a situation in those 6 months where I just finished my GCSEs. I've moved back to Australia, couldn't find work. My family had moved away from the area that we were in, so I didn't know anyone. And I was just stuck at home all day, every day, with nothing to do. And obviously my friends were, and my family, extended family, were 10,000 miles away and the rest. And it got to the point where I started to get, you know, started to slip into a bit of a depression and developed insomnia, because all of my mates were obviously up, you know, that's an 8-hour time difference from where I live. So the only time I could communicate with them was late at night. And that turned into a situation where like, I was like physically unable to sleep at night. And my social time would be through the wee hours of the morning. And I'd find myself going to bed like 4 or 5 a.m. every single day for months on end. And it was just a really difficult time for me to be experiencing that. Very much missing home and home comforts. And although I was living with my parents again, being far away from everything I'd known and everything I'd grown up around, and just not wanting to be where I was. And that was really, really difficult. But after about 3 or 4 months or so, my parents made a decision to move back to the UK. And I ended up moving back here in the January of 2011. And I think that's probably been the best thing that's ever happened to me. Although my parents still give me a bit of banter for making the move back from Australia. I think it was the right decision to come back. I've never looked back, and I certainly would not be sat here today if I'd have stayed out there. And I think it has changed my life for the better, being able to come home. So I would say it was very difficult 6 months. And although, like I said, people might think, well, going to Australia for 6 months, that sounds lovely. It really wasn't, especially when you didn't want to be there.
Such a difficult age as well, isn't it? Just after GCSEs, where friends are so important. Yeah. So I can imagine how tough that was.
Yeah, fair play, Kieran.
That was a long time ago now.
yes. But as you said, if you didn't come back, you wouldn't be recording this podcast right here. So there we go. Yeah, good journey. And we've got a big game. That's it. Any other questions, Blue? Any questions for you, Kieran? Any question you want to ask us? No,
I spend a lot of time with you two anyway, so we've made it this far, Ross. I was gonna ask you about your driving, but I was gonna say how's it going, but we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, on the last main flagship podcast, I said I've had no theories, so we'll move on and look ahead to.
Honestly, like, I know we give you a bit of stick for this, like on the coach and whatnot, but we all genuinely so want you to pass so much. Like, every time you say, "Oh, I've got it booked in," I'm just like keeping everything crossed that you've passed. Like, I want this journey to be over for you, and that you can finally get in the car and hopefully pass your practical first time.
Yeah, that as well.
Because
you are
very much in debt to me with lifts over the years. So I'm looking forward to being a passenger in your car for once. But you can do it. You can do it, mate. I know we joke about, and I've brought up the thing again, but genuinely, please pass. We want to pass.
Yeah, I think everyone in my life now, it's getting... I've got a lot of debt. I owe a lot of debt to a lot of people.
Let Regan pass before you.
Yeah, or at least we can pass at the same time. I'm happy just passing the same year, but I have got ambitions to do it, but I think he's, I don't know. I think I'm
I think when you're like, you obviously become 17 and you're able to learn to drive, it's like the one thing that's the most important thing in your life. I mean, my driving experience is a little bit different. Like, I was actually, we'll talk about that 6 months in Australia. They can drive a 16 out there. So the one thing that I was trying to do to help myself get better in life was to learn to drive while I was out there. So I started when I was 16, and then I moved back to the UK and continued my lessons. But then it got to the point where I was like, I don't know if I can afford to get a first car, because I just moved back and didn't have a job. And then I got a job, and then my granddad were like, for my 18th birthday, they're like, we're going to buy you a car. So I then obviously accelerated the lessons, pardon the pun, from that point onwards. I passed when I was 19. I've been driving for 10 years now. But I think when you're at that age, it's literally the only thing you think about. It's just I want to drive. So I can understand what you're saying, Ross, about Regan. Like, he's got that urge now. And you're older and cynical and fed up with the process now, probably.
Yeah. One day, though.
Yeah, I think what you need to do is you actually need to buy a car. And then when it's sat there, you'll then be like, that car isn't being used right now. What a waste of money. And then you'd be like, okay, let's get my test done.
I'll just probably say, what a waste of money. I'm just going to sell it.
That's not the thought process.
I won't be the thought.
But... Ross, all the best drivers fail. I failed. Yeah. To be fair, I passed my theory first time. But I think... passed my practical on the fourth attempt.
Okay.
I've been in the car with Blue. I'm a great driver. Interesting experience.
I've got a lot better. I do a lot of miles, actually. So I've got a lot better.
I'm surprised your car hasn't packed it in yet.
And no points, by the way. No points yet.
There you go. Fair play. Fair play. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll keep it at that though. We'll come back to this. And one day on the podcast, we will bring you that big news story.
I think we need to throw a celebration, a proper celebration when you pass.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Definitely. The celebration will just basically giving you all lifts. That is it. Just a lift, even just if it's a lift around the corner to Tesco's. Other supermarkets available, of course. Well, let's basically preview the biggest game of the season. Oxford at the AJ Arena in Felixstowe, second versus first. Last time out was a 1-1 draw back in October. They've only seen one defeat all season. Kieran mentioned it was against Cheltenham Town. Blue, how are you feeling going into this one? A team that scored 42 goals, only conceded 9 goals in the league all season. Thoughts on this one?
You know what? It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a very tough game. But I'm really excited for it because it's two teams who are in incredible form going against each other with huge, huge circumstances. I think probably looking at it from a unbiased opinion, it's Oxford's to lose as they are in the driving seat, which makes a change almost from last time or last year. So, yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's hard to describe how big this game is. I think we all know that. Obviously, Oxford's home record is ridiculous. I don't know how many days it is now where they haven't lost at home, but obviously this game is at home for us, away for them. So that's a positive. But in my eyes, I couldn't predict it. It could go so many ways. And I really hope that fans pack out Felixstowe and make noise as they did on Sunday, because I thought the noise on Sunday, it felt like a home game. Yeah. Drums, singing in particular, was amazing. So I really sort of encourage, if you're thinking about coming to the Oxford game on Sunday, I think it's 2 p.m. kickoff as usual, please come. We need your support. This is a big one. It's a key one in the title race and our season. So I literally cannot wait. I'm counting down the days until Sunday. I think a lot of the girls are too.
Yeah. Kieran, just before you get your thoughts on the game, some details for listeners there who are thinking about going to their first game, who have maybe gone before, but what's the details before the game? And yeah, 2 p.m. kickoff.
Yeah, so AGL Arena in Felixstowe, home of Felixstowe and Morton United FC, 2 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. Tickets.itfc.co.uk for your advanced tickets for that fixture. We're expecting this to be a busy one. It's going to be a big one. There's so much riding on this. I think from our perspective, you know, this is an absolute must win for us. If we are to keep ourselves in the title race and to put ourselves in a good position going forward into the final two games of the season, we have to win this game. I think for Oxford, I think it's a can't lose, probably, because a draw for them probably would be okay.
Yeah.
And I think we have to recognise that. But I, you know, this is going to be a game of fine margins. Whoever blinks first, every meeting other than the 3-1 at their place last season has been closely contested. It was a very tight affair back in October. You know, two very good teams, two very different teams. Actually, they're very disciplined and experienced and whatnot. Whereas I think we're more sort of free flowing than them. Got a bit more youth in the team. A bit more pace, but it's going to be a real titanic clash between two of the best teams in the division that have both got championship aspirations. And Blue mentioned the fans. The fans have been unbelievable for the last few weeks since the formation of the new supporters club, with the drums, the flags. They've been recruiting more people as members. It's encouraging more people to come to games. I think we've seen a lot of new faces at games in general that are not involved with the supporters club. And I think the fans have got a huge part to play this weekend. If we can create a really, really good atmosphere at the AGL that drives the team on to what could be an enormous victory, that could be the catalyst, I think. And, you know, Oxford will know that. they'll be, you know, they've gone on today about their home record. I mean, their home record is brilliant. You know, fair play to them. 30 games unbeaten at home, like over 1,200 days without losing a game at home. But you're not at home this weekend. And yeah, our home environment has been a real, real big plus for us in recent weeks. So to any Town fans out there that are contemplating it or have never been before, be there on Sunday, massive game, make a racket. Let's do this.
Yeah, let's do it. Bring it on. Big game. And what a big podcast it's been. Pleasure to have you on, Kieran. Any other business from yourself before we wrap up?
Yeah, I just want to mention that on Sunday at the Oxford game, there is going to be the official Ipswich Town Supporters Club collecting votes for the official Women's Player of the Year. So there'll be people by the turnstiles with clipboards collecting votes from supporters attending the game. So last year, Bonnie Horwood won Supporters Player of the Year. So I'm interested to see, with plenty of contenders this year, who's going to pick up the award. And the winner of that award will be obviously announced at the end of season dinner at Milsom's on the 2nd of May, which is a very, very posh black tie event that we get to attend every year, which is fantastic. Blue, you had the privilege of going up on the stage last year to collect your Goal of the Season award. If you're coming along on Sunday, don't forget to vote for your Women's Player of the Year.
Definitely. And come down to the AJ Arena in Felixstowe, 2 p.m. kickoff. We need your support. Bring it on. Blue, I'll let you take away. Any other business from yourself before we wrap up?
I don't think so. I think we've covered it all. Big thanks again for listening and providing support, as always. Also, big thanks to John Fowler Solicitors, and big up Michael Kennedy. Always DM me on Instagram saying, good pod. So I love that from him. And we'll catch you next week after the big Oxford game. And we'll see you on Sunday.
Upper Town.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.